the second, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all
I do. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth, so that that we hear may be applied to our lives. We'll be ever so careful to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 15. I want to commence reading at verse 1. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ please not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Now certainly we are thankful to God for this word, because here Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's suggesting to us that we understand, that we pick up on the principles and the patterns of Jesus Christ and then apply them to our own lives, so much so that we can be like Jesus or like-minded in our operations, especially to those who are of the household of faith, because it's talking about brethren. So again, the kinship here is to Christians. Now verse 1 says again, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now this is important, because certainly historically the strong has taken advantage of the weak rather than helping the weak, rather than uplifting and building up the weak. They have generally taken advantage of the weak, have exploited their weaknesses, have misused their weaknesses, have gained and profited from their weaknesses. But the record is that the believers who are what? Strong. See, strong folk don't make themselves stronger by picking on weak folk. You know, if you're strong, you're going to match yourself up with that is equal to you, not that is weaker than you. And so he's saying, first of all, those of you who are strong, you ought to bear. That's your responsibility, to bear the weakness, the infirmities of those who are weaker than you, and not to please ourselves, which means when you see that you would profit from a situation because that person is weaker, or when you see that you get the upper hand on that person because they are weaker and you are stronger, you are not to do that. You are to help them because you've been blessed to be strong in a situation and not to exploit the situation. And then verse 2 goes on to say, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, when we please our neighbor, what it's literally saying here is, let us edify our neighbor, or, and again, the question is asked, who is our neighbor? So it's not talking about the person next door
as our neighbor. We've established that through Jesus' teaching that our neighbor is anyone who needs our help in that situation. So what it's literally saying is that we help them to the point of their edification or to their good. And so a lot of times, again, when we see this word here, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. And here's the word, to edification. When they are edified, that brings them to a place where they've been ministered to. That means they've been brought to a safe place, to a good place, a place where they are then on the right path, right road, feeling good, or again, balanced in life. So when we're pleasing, it's not until we get pleased, it's until our neighbors are edified, are ministered to. Because, you know, we can go on and say, all right, I helped them, but that didn't seem to matter, so I'm moving on. I ain't got time for this. No, it's ministering to edification. Until they are edified, then your ministering has not been effective. Okay? So you got to understand it's dealing with ministering or blessing or helping or supporting until they are at the point they need to be at. Verse 3 says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached you. In other words, all of the issues that the enemy had with you fell on me. I took the burden, the responsibility, the beating, the punishment, the penalty, not for sins I had committed, but for sins you had committed. So again, it's showing you how Jesus bore all of the issues we had, and none of them belonged to him. Show you that he was not self-serving, but he was seeking to serve. And that's how we ought to be as well. Now here's where I really want to get to in verse 4. For it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now, this is Paul rewriting, but he's literally talking about the Old Testament, because at this point in time, the New Testament had not been recorded. But literally, this is pragmatically the entire word. Whatever has been written in the Old Testament, whatever has been written in the New Testament, all of that has been written for our learning. Okay? It's a principle that is to be applied both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But Paul historically was saying to them, because at that time all they had was the Old Testament. He said, everything that's been written in the Old Testament has been written for your learning. Okay? And so since then, we add the New Testament to it pragmatically today, which means we have the Old and the New Testament, and all of the Word of God, or the Bible, is meant for our learning. Listen at this. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, this fourth verse is loaded with principles that I want to share with you, and three of them come especially out of this verse. Actually four, but I want to deal with the principles before I deal with the process. Okay, so the first thing that he's saying is, again, that patience comes from the Scripture. It comes from, that's the principle that comes from Scripture. But real patience comes from experience through life, tribulations, trials, setbacks, issues, problems. All of these things, again, teaches us patience. Now, but again, the principle comes from the Word of God. Well, when not only does God give us the principle of patience in the Word of God, but he gives us people who have gone through things in the Word of God so we can see. But not only does he give us people in the Word of God that have gone through things, but then he gives us our personal experience of things. We can look back in our own lives and see how we've grown through some experience that has caused us to gain patience. I mean, you look at how many of us have gone through some things in life now we'd do different than we had done before. Because we learned patience. How many of us got excited, just had to have it today, couldn't wait?
You know, one of the experiences I had with this learning patience, I was very, very young. And my first car that I bought, I was 16 years old at the time, and I was in the DECA program, Distributive Education Clubs of America. And so in my 10th grade, I was only taking two classes. By 10 something in the day, I was through for the whole day. That's a long story, but I could have been graduated at 15, but my mama wouldn't let me. I'm still praying right now. But anyway, so for 2 years I took classes, two classes for the whole day, every day. And then in my senior class, didn't have to take but one class, but I went on and took another one just to fill up time before it was time to go to work. So at any rate, my mama, I'd saved up some money and I wanted this yellow bug, this yellow bug. It was about 3 or 4 years old, but my mama said, "Baby, just wait till I get my income tax check." "And when I get my income tax check, I'll put it with what you got and we'll get you a new car." And I just had my eyes set. That yellow bug just, it looked new to me. You know, it was a standard. I knew how to drive standard, but you know, I mean, she wanted me to have an automatic, and I'm like, "No, I like this." And she said, "Okay, well, all right, all right." I kept bugging and was persistent. So she said, "Okay, well, you go on do it." So we went on in. Of course, she had to sign for it and everything. So I got to never forget, my note was $78.47. Now those were good notes in those days. But I worked and paid my own note and everything and all the rest of it. But lo and behold, before her income tax check came, I started having issues with my bug. And I declare I spent more money on repairs than I did on notes. And it was probably about a couple years later before I got out of that bug. But it taught me patience. And the next time I got a car, it was a Honda, brand new, off the showroom floor, because I learned patience. And I, you know, some things look good, but you got to know the story. Didn't have no warranty, didn't have no nothing, didn't have no protection, didn't have no patience. And I've never ever been in that predicament again, because I learned a valuable lesson about that. And I'm just trying to tell somebody here that you got to learn from your experiences that grant you the knowledge of patience, and how if you don't learn patience, you repeat the process. Amen, somebody? I know you got your own story that you can tell about patience, and you can share with others about patience. But that was just my, I was 16 years old. That was a long time ago, y'all. But I learned just, that was the first major lesson of patience. And I know there were many before then and many after then, but that one hit home for me. But you have to learn patience is what God wants to teach you, so as to guide you in all of the decisions that you make in life and how they're going to affect you. Because they may be in different areas and they may be in different arenas and they may be about different situations, but the principle remains the same. And so when you know that you have the peace of God, that you've done what is right, and that you know that if it is God's will for you, that it will be what it's supposed to be, whether it's this or that, you learn to be patient enough for God to give you that peace. Amen. But notice what he says again. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for your learning, that ye through patience," and here is the conjunction, because now you got to learn, and it's not just here for no reason. It is that connects to the next word that follows it. So that means patience is connected to comfort. All right? So it says that you may learn patience and comfort. Well, now, what's important about the comfort that you get from the Word of God? Well, actually, going through patience. I want to just share a couple definitions for you. You don't have to write them down. I just want you to hear. Patience has to do with the good-natured tolerance of delay. The good-natured tolerance of delay or incompetence. It says, is the state of endurance under difficult circumstances. You learn patience in circumstances of delay or of incompetence. You learn it as a state of endurance of things that are difficult. And so what you begin to realize is that even if God said it, doesn't mean that God's gonna do it right now. Jeremiah got mad with God because God spoke it to him when he was a child that he'd be a prophet unto the nations. He was ordained for that purpose. But yet he was an old man down in a dark, damp dungeon. He was crying out to God because he was put in the dungeon for doing what thus saith the Lord. And he couldn't understand why the promises of God hadn't come to pass then. So he gave God his resignation letter while down in the dungeon. But yet God's word was in him as a fire shut up in his bone. And he said he couldn't stay. In other words, after he wrote the letter, signed, sealed, and delivered the letter, he took the letter back. When that was in him was stirred up in him. And so he then became comforted again later in the things that God had promised him because of God's faithfulness. And so you find comfort through the scriptures. God had to remind him of the promises to him. God had to remind him that he is faithful. God had to remind him, I'm doing it on my own timetable. And so certain things that he became comforted in were comforts through the scripture. So may I suggest to you, whatever comfort you're getting, I pray it's not Southern comfort. I pray it's godly comfort. I pray it's some comfort you can hold on to. I pray it's not man's comfort or woman's comfort. I pray it is the comfort that comes from the Word of God. Because listen, your soul is going to bear witness only with the things of God to really grant it the peace that is necessary for it to receive the true comfort. And so it's important for you to know that if I'm going to be comforted, man, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. But even in the midst of my going through this and going through that, I'm comforted by the word of God. When David started thinking about the Lord being with him, and he shouted in Psalm 23 and 4 before he went into the valley of the shadow of death, it's because he thought about the word of God. For thou art with me. That's why he got so comforted. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. I'm not worried. His comfort came in knowing God was there. And so when you're going through your next situation, whether it's the fiery furnace like the Hebrew boys, whether it's the lion's den like Daniel, whether it's the children of Israel trying to cross over the Red Sea, and you walk back through any number of characters in the biblical antiquity and see what they were comforted in. And I like to use this word matter-of-factly. God, whenever you see the scripture and see it as it is in its context, one of the things I love about God's word and this word comfort is God comforts you while you're in what you're going through. Now, do you really need his comfort when you come out of it? No, you need his celebration when you come out. But when you're going in the valley, you need his comfort. When you come out the valley, you need his celebration. And so we've got to realize if you're going to be comforted, understand when you need the comfort and where you get the comfort from. When you need it is when you're going through your troubles, your trials, your tribulation, your sickness, your issues. But listen at this, you get it from the word of God. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You are more than a conqueror. No weapon that is for whatever your issue is, God has a word to comfort you in your trials.
Listen, it don't make no sense for you to get comfort. I'm going to take my medicine after I get healed. But what sense do I need to take it then for? I need to take it while I need it. But when I get healed, I don't need to take it. You need comfort while you're going through your struggles, and while you're going through your test, and while you're going through your trials. And that's why you need the Word of God. And that's why the enemy don't want you to know it. He wants you to suffer needlessly. He wants you to extend the pain and the problem and the test. But God wants you to have comfort in it. Listen, so it can, regardless of how long it lasts, it can be comforting while you're yet going through it. And listen to this. If you're comforted while you're going through it, does it really matter how long it lasts? No, when you come to yourself, it's over? I didn't even know. Here's why I didn't know, because Jeremiah tells me that those who trust in the Lord will not even notice when the heat cometh. Man, everybody else sweating and pouring down, and oh, they dreading the heat and the problem. And you hot? No. Man, I'm burning up. Trust the Lord. I mean, he will keep you cool, calm. So comfort is another process that happens when we learn. But notice here something else. It says of the scriptures, listen, patience and comfort of the scriptures. Scriptures, that's where you get your patience and your comfort from. Even though you experience them, you get the principles of what will happen from the Word of God, so that when you practice them like a road map you follow, you'll end up just like the Lord said you'll end up. All right? So look again. Of the scriptures might have hope. There we go. Another valuable thing we learn from Scripture is that the world does not give us hope, not the kind of hope that we need. Only the Scripture gives us hope. As a matter of fact, the world gives us hopelessness, but the Scripture gives us hope. All right. Comfort. Again, a state of being relaxed and feeling no pain. Freedom from worry or disappointment. Hope, a specific instance of feeling hopeful. All right, the general feeling that some desire will be fulfilled. And here's the third definition I like for hope. Grounds for feeling hopeful about the future. Grounds. That means stable, stout, and strong proof. Grounds is evidence. It's proof. Listen, that you can be hopeful about your future. May I suggest to you that there is no other ground, or there are no other grounds to be found than the Word of God about your future. That's something to shout about right there. I'm telling you, if you want grounds for your future, the satisfaction, the security of knowing that you've got a brighter future, a better future ahead of you than your past has ever been, your grounds must be based on the Word of God. I mean, I don't care what you're going through right now. Do you know it is no comparisons to the grounds God gives you to have a hope in your future? It's going to get better because you read the story. It's got to get better because this is only a test. When Jesus said, ye are more than, through the Word of God, a conqueror, when he said, I am a victor, I am an overcomer, you shall be a victor, you shall be an overcomer, then that means no matter what you're dealing with right now, you are going to overcome it, you're going to be a victor in it. So it's got to be better than it is right now in your future. The story doesn't end. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them This is your foundation, your book by which to base your hope in your future on. Whatever, listen, is in your future that comes from the Word of God should be enough to give you hope. You can look at somebody and tell them, I don't care what I'm going through, I'm coming out. Because the Word says so, not because a song said so. Yeah, I want the world to know because the Word said it. And when you know this, the hope, listen again, listen to this, and I'm almost through. The hope that you get about your future that comes from the Word of God is the grounds upon which you shout the glory to God for the things that are yet to come. This is really about faith. This is really moving beyond where you are, what you are, what's going on in your life. This is about knowing the Word and knowing how God has purposed your end to be. Your end is going to be better than your beginning. You're going through the test is going to profit you more after the test than before the test. So you got to understand that God is allowing you to go through what you go through to develop patience in you, to slow you down before you pass up more than you catch up with. Grandma used to say that all the time, boy, slow down, you're going to run past more than you catch up with. And so without patience, you can be looking a blessing right in the eye. It can be right before you and you don't see it because you are trying to run ahead and do it yourself and don't want to wait and see that God is developing you or it until the perfect time. And the devil don't want you to see that. But while you're waiting, take comfort in the scriptures. That dispensationally, which means he has it packaged and put up to the proper time. It's yours. Can't nobody touch it. Ain't no nothing gonna happen to it. But when the right time comes, it's gonna release into your possession. Be patient. He's working on you trying to build your knowledge. If he gave you $1 million right now, it'll be blown in no time because you don't know how to handle it. But while you go through stuff and he lets you lose the little bit you got right now just so that you can learn how to handle things later, and then he starts testing you by putting a little more and a little more and a little more till you learn. Now by the time he dropped that $1 million in your lap, you know just what to do with it. Starting with paying your tithes. Hey, that was a good place. Thank you, brother musician. Glory. Now here is the last part that I want to share with you. I've just shared with you the principles with patience and comfort and hope. But none of this makes sense until you look at the process. Let's go back into the scripture. And let me share it with you again. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for your our learning. Stop right there. Learning, learning, learning. Process, process, process. Over and over and over. You learned patience already, and that was good for where you are. But you've not learned the patience for where you're going. So there are going to be more tests and more trials and more tribulations so that you'll learn patience for the next level. Listen to me well. When I learn patience for the next level, then he gives me the blessings commensurate with my patience. I am comforted on another level. I have hope on another level. But since it was written for my learning, I got some more learning if I've got some more living. Are y'all hearing me here? So if I'm going to live beyond today
And if I'm going to live beyond now, I've got to learn some more than I have.